Welcome to the Radio 191 FM podcast.
You might be asking why we're playing so much Shane Carter music. Well, it's because we have the director of the film Life in One Chord, a documentary all about Shane Carter and his exploits over the years. We have the director, Margaret Gordon, here, who is hailing to us from Ototahi, their hometown. Good morning to you, Margaret. How are we?
I'm very well, thank you.
Very, very good. You're wearing a big puffer jacket. Is it quite cold in the studio where you are?
Yes, well, I mean, I live in Melbourne usually.
Oh, right. So, yeah.
So coming to, Melbourne's cold, make no mistake, but coming back to Christchurch, and I was like, I think I'm going to have to go and invest in some, warm outerwear.
Yeah, very, very fair. I concur. Melbourne can get pretty cold. I went there earlier in the year. I was very surprised. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not all hot.
No.
And it can get very hot too. It's just one of those places.
One of those places, man. The screenings for Life in One Chord for the New Zealand International Film Fest, from my research, are sold out in both Ponneke and Tamaki Makaurau. How does that feel?
Great, great. And Ototahi too.
And Ototahi as well. Oh my gosh. Yep. Look at you.
In fact, Ototahi was the first to sell out, which is, I think, I always feel like people sometimes overlook this town as being a real... a town which loves this music, big fans of the Dunedin scene in Ototahi, Christchurch. But yeah, it feels great. And, I knew that there was going to be people who'd be interested in the film in this country and also overseas too. There's a lot of fans in Australia as well. But actually, having it sell out like that so quickly is just feels awesome, feels great. And also, it's great because we put so much work into it. So.
I listened to an interview you did on RDU, the Ototahi sister station of Radio 1, and you did an interview with their breakfast host, Missy G, and in that interview, I think you're talking about how oftentimes, we don't appreciate our own homegrown talent, but to see this level of support for this film, not only does it support local filmmakers such as yourself, but it's supporting the history of this kind of rock music that is globally influential. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, one of the things which people who've been overseas will discover or have already discovered is that you go overseas and you talk about and you're interested in indie music of any sort, people immediately start talking about Flying Nun. The influence is far greater than I think most people here in Aotearoa really realise.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I was in San Francisco and I walked into Amoeba Records there and they were playing the Tall Dwarfs. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like I'm home. But yeah, it's everywhere and people really are really interested in it. So it's hugely influential. But I should also say, all music scenes come from something and also lead to something. So that doesn't mean that the music that came before, all of that Dunedin scene and Flying Nun, Christchurch, all of Aotearoa. Like, there was music before then that was also really awesome.
Yep.
And there's also music that's followed it that's also really awesome. So it's definitely a great high point, but it's definitely not in isolation.
No, it's part of an artistic tradition.
Yeah, and I think, people in this country are really influenced by that music, and that's a really good thing.
It is really awesome. One thing I learned from this film is that Shane Carter loves going to the beach. Is there any symbolism there? Because he loves to go down to the beach and look out into the vast blue ocean.
I think Shane's actually quite into the outdoors. I think he really loves the natural world and... one of the things back to Dunedin was that he learned to drive, and that was the ability, that gave him the ability to go and see all of the parts of New Zealand, without having to rely on somebody else. So, yeah, I think he really does dig all of that. And he says it himself, the land speaks.
The land is vibrating, is what he's, yeah.
Vibrating, yeah. It's vibrating, yeah. And especially down south, it's just spectacular. How could you not be influenced by that?
Yeah, completely, completely. The impetus from this movie came from many things, but chiefly among them, as we've previously discussed, Flying Nun and your love for New Zealand music, which you listened to for a great deal in your teen years. How did you get to listening to Flying Nun?
So I was... introduced to bands like Dinosaur Jr. and Husker Du, actually by some tapes that my brother had that were put together by his friend. Mm. Everyone's got like an in, really, don't they? They've got the story about how they discovered the music that they loved, and that's my one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like looking for more music like that, and I discovered that there was just this whole wealth of music that was from right where I was from. Because, you know, growing up in New Zealand, you always tend to feel like you're away from everything and you're on the edge of the earth and, you know, it's a backwater and it's that's what you feel like because that's what it feels like and you are on an island on the edge of the earth. But the truth of the matter is that the quality of the artistic output from New Zealand is as good as anywhere in the world. It really is. And, you know, finding that music that was from right where I was from, like literally from my hometown or just up the road, that's a real revelation to me. And you know, being a creative person, this is really, it's been an inspiration for me and it's guidance. You know, you look to the people who have gone before you and, you know, take inspiration from them. So it's incredibly gratifying to me that I've been so welcomed and so well treated by a community that I hold in such high esteem.
Game sees game, man. Talent sees talent.
Yeah, it feels great.
Now, the film is obviously about Shane Carter, but it's also about, as you put it, the tenacity and personal strength to be a working artist in Aotearoa. Do you think that that is still a viable option? And what do you what qualities do you need to be able to stick out a life as a working artist in Aotearoa?
I think you have to be putting your creative output at the front of everything that you do, including above money and finance, which isn't always an easy thing. And I think that most people in New Zealand who choose a creative path will have quite a few lean years. It's less true in Australia because there's just more people and a bigger audience. But I think you have to be really resilient. And there's a lot of knocks. I mean, you know, I think there wasn't a lot of, you know, for a lot, especially Flying Nun bands, going overseas and then, you know, coming back home, wasn't a lot of empathy for people at that time or what that might have felt like.
Yeah.
So, and I think, you know, Shane's an example of someone who's had a lot of tenacity and he's hung on to it. So the qualities are about just staying the course. You have to stay the course if you want to choose a life like that. You know, you have to be prepared to just stay the course. But of course, the rewards are huge too. Like, you know, you would have seen from the film, some of those shows that Shane's played with his bands were just blistering. And no one else can say that they've had that experience of doing that, you know. So the highs are high, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. That, I thought it was really fascinating that they were playing with My Bloody Valentine in Australia. That was so cool.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, and like, there was actually a little piece that we cut out for various reasons, not because we didn't love it, love all of it, which was them all playing with Jonathan Richman. I was pretty surprised. Like, he toured New Zealand right back in the day.
Oh, my gosh. It is weird how, you know, we are, well, as you say, we're at the edge of the world. But it's funny how those huge artists like the Beatles and Lou, not Lou Reed, the what's the, I See Trees of Green, that guy. He also came to New Zealand. He came through Dunedin. Like, it's weird how, you know, we are at the edge of the world, but we still get some of those huge acts, eh?
Yeah. Well, that's right. And it's part of the touring, you know, part of the touring cycle. Is that all? I can't
remember. The circuit?
Yeah. The circuit. That's it. Yeah. So people do come here. I mean, when I was growing up, a teenager in Ototahi, I got to see Sonic Youth of Faith No More.
Oh, my God.
Fugazi.
Oh.
Pavement.
Oh.
I narrowly missed seeing the Breeders. These bands, they came out here, and man, you know, the fever pitch of, you know, Faith No More's coming to town. Oh my God, you know, we all lost our minds.
I would lose my mind even to this day. I'm a massive Faith No More fan. Love them to bits. this next question is going to be a little bit long-winded, so just stay with, bear with.
I will.
In the aforementioned chat on RDU, you said that you didn't want to make a documentary where you get someone like a Henry Rollins to come and say, yeah, Shane Carter's great. You wanted to let the music speak for itself. You let people tell their stories, but you avoid obvious territory. Everyone speaks about the Dunedin Sound era, like a golden age. There's a lot of nostalgia factor looking back. How did you avoid those kind of standard rockumentary tropes when it comes to such a kind of almost mythical era?
I think that you, when you go into a project, you have to have rules, and sometimes those rules are based on mistakes that you think other people have made that have gone before.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, one of the rules that we had was the only people, we would only have people speaking about something that were directly related to that thing. So, and then another rule was only show the music or, you know, play the music and don't talk about it, because the audience isn't stupid and, you know, they can hear the music. You hear it. When you hear it, you know what you're talking about. You don't need someone to stand there and say, the music was great, you know. And also having the people, I think that there is a real temptation with music documentaries to bring in people, and part of it's because they want to grab the attention of festivals. I understand it. But to bring in a famous person to say at the start, you know, this band was really influential on me. And I just think it's really, it's not actually part of the content. What someone thinks of it is not what we're trying to say. You know, we want it to speak for itself, and it doesn't need to have testimonials from other people. So, those are the kind of rules that we put in place. But the thing is, yeah, there was actually a lot of content from, you know, Dunedin back in the day. I thought there was going to be nothing. I was really worried. I thought there'd be a couple of photos and some scratchy, you know, some scratchy demo tapes. But actually, there was quite a lot. There were some stories about it at the time from TVNZ, who obviously recognised even back then that something special was going on. Mm-hmm. There's lots of really great photos, a lot particularly from Terry Moore, who was in The Chills and was also in the board games. Really fantastic photographer, really beautiful stuff. VHS even, there's stuff like that. And then we did some kind of funny, tricky things, like actually got a VHS camera and drove around Dunedin and shot some footage, and you can't actually tell that it's not the 1980s.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's hilarious. I really like the use of Radio with Pictures, which is an old series on the TV channels in the 80s, where they'd investigate local music scenes. And there's a funny clip in the Dunedin edition of Radio with Pictures where they're outside the Cook Hotel and Shane Carter's complaining that he can't play in there because he's too young, and he's listening to a band doing a cover of The Clash's I Fought the Law and The Law Won, and he just goes, they're not doing very good. But he's like, so much, you've got so much character, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, that's what it's like. It's quite funny, like all through the film he's doing stuff and going, you know. I mean, it's funny. I think it's funny. Good on him.
I can definitely see how he rubbed people the wrong way. But you explore that. You explore all the good, the part, the good, the big, the good, the bad, the ugly. You know, that's what the documentary is.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, it's not supposed to be a puff piece, right?
No, like, no.
And if we didn't have that stuff, it wouldn't be true to his character either. I mean, in my experience, and because I'm also a video maker, so I work for The Age in Melbourne and the Sydney Morning Herald, so it's sort of the equivalent to Stuff here, making videos. And in my experience of my career of video making, people don't mind you saying bad things as long as it's true. Mm-hmm. If it's ringing true and you are being true to the material, then it's usually okay. And people will kind of be like, well, you know, I don't look great, but that was actually what happened. So, yeah, that was the thing with Shane. Like, we had to show him, you know, he can't just be a puff piece. It's got to be true. And I think, you know, the fact that he was happy with the film, you know, warts and all, is a testament to the fact that I think we probably did get across some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to do the readings, though. He didn't want to, because we take a lot from the book, and he didn't want to read that out. I think that was getting a little bit too close to home. Uh-huh. But as far as the content, yeah, it's all true.
Yeah. I need to read the book. I really need to read the book now.
The book's great.
Yeah.
It's a ride.
I really want to read, because I've read a few biographies before, and they have to have something really fascinating about them to make them worthy for me, and I think this looks like a very fascinating one.
We took a lot from the book, and that, like, if you like that content at all, I mean, the really cool thing is that the idea was that we would bring the book to life, but if you like that content at all, then, you know, there's so much more there for you. If you think what Shane says in the movie is good, then the book is just like, it's a golden prize. There's heaps in there. You'll love it.
For sure. Now, this is the second kind of rockumentary you've done. You've done one before about the Christchurch 80s metal band Into the Void. Will you be doing another one in the future? Do you reckon another one's on the cards, or are you kind of done with this medium?
Well, I've got to say, you know, this documentary took 7 years to get to this point, for various reasons, COVID being one, which stopped everything.
Yeah.
But I cannot really truly describe in words how much work it is. It's just so much work to make something like this. But then again, doing a big project like this has just got so much great reward, and it feels great to me that we've got something that's now on the record. You know, we've gathered all of this material about Shane together in one place, and, you know, it's probably the definitive one. I don't think anyone else will do one. So that feels really good, and it's content that I love. Will I do another one? I would like to. If the right thing comes along at the right time, I will. I've learnt lessons from this, and I'll take those into whatever next project that I do.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the next thing you put out coming to our great film fest, which is happening very shortly. Thank you for joining me this morning, Margaret. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Folks, that was the director, Margaret Gordon, who recently did Life in One Chord, which is an awesome documentary all about Shane Carter and his exploits. If you'd like to go see it in Dunedin, head to the NZIFF website or the Regent website. You can go to the premiere on August 16th, Saturday the 16th. It is playing at the Regent Theatre at 6:15. Here is Straightjacket Fitz with Life in One Chord. We'll be joined very shortly by Civil Talk and talk about his latest track, The City Has Let Down Our Children. Here's Straightjacket Fitz.
Radio 1 91 FM podcast. All of our content lives online at r1.co.nz.